And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a new Head of the Pack. Guess you could call this the free agency wrap-up podcast. I know free agency is not officially done. It never really is, but the last one before we transition into draft season with a draft happening about a month away in Cleveland, an in-person draft, maybe even reporters in person at the facility. But for now, we'll wrap up free agency. Packers have made a couple, I wouldn't call them minor moves, but a couple quieter moves the last couple days based on what the rest of the league has been doing. So Bill and I just wanted to talk to you about a couple of those. We'll start with Kevin King. Bill, I'm not going to lie, I was surprised that they brought him back. Every single time I wrote about free agency and King, I said he's as good as gone. Not because of what happened in the NFC Championship game solely. Obviously, that didn't help when it comes to the what have you done for me lately factor, but he hasn't proven able to stay consistently healthy. And when he is, he's too prone to games like the NFC Championship game. So I thought they would go with a veteran free agent and draft a guy, as I've said on this show. What was your take on that move?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. Yeah, Mike McCarthy, this is probably every coach, but Mike McCarthy always used to say the greatest ability is availability. And obviously Kevin, I think he's played 41 of 64 games in his career. TJ Watt has almost as many career pass breakups as Kevin King. There's something for you.
I was surprised to bring up that name again?
Yeah, well, sorry about that. But look, you look at the contract, it's peanuts, right? I mean, it's 1 year. They added like 65 void years. So he's under contract through like 2090. I'm exaggerating. It's 1 year and four void years. His cap number is less than $2 million. So this is look, he played pretty well in 2019. And if you can get that kind of play at this price, it's a pretty sweet deal. Clearly they have to draft somebody. I mean, they can't just roll into 2021 with Jair Alexander, Kevin King, and Chandon Sullivan as their corners. They got to do better, but at least it takes the pressure off, doesn't it, Matt? When you go in the draft, then maybe you don't have to go get a guy right away.
Yeah, I think obviously the numbers first reported on all these deals are not what they really are. So the 1 year up to $6 million, up to is the key word there. This looks like, and like you just said, a 1 year prove it deal, low risk, high reward. And if the Packers can get the 2019 Kevin King or better, then he earns a new contract. And if they can't, then they'll have a high drafted rookie waiting in the wings. So I don't see the problem with, you know, although I didn't necessarily agree they should bring him back, I don't see the problem with the deal they gave him, especially with the specifics you just mentioned. And certainly it does not, you know, take them out of the running for drafting a cornerback in the first or second round. I mean, Jair Alexander and Kevin King were the first picks for the Packers in 2017 and 2018. And neither of them started right away, but they started, you know, shortly thereafter. So that could happen here too. There's obviously money in playtime bonuses, performance bonuses, you know, per game bonuses for King. So if he's injured and doesn't, you know, play well or doesn't play well to start the season, then I don't think it would cost the Packers that much financially to be like, hey, rookie's ready, let's throw him in there. Who knows what kind of camp a guy like a Greg Newsome or an Eric Stokes or an Asante Samuel Jr. has if they are drafted by the Packers in the first round.
Yeah, I just think it's important to not force yourself into a first round pick. And that's what this does. They need to get better on the D-line.
Yeah.
Goodness knows they could use some O-line help so that you at least have last year's group together. Look, they for all the warts of it, they were top 10 or 12 in passer rating, pass breakups. completion percentage. They played fairly well. Sports Info Solutions charged King with one touchdown during the regular season. So I mean, he wasn't awful. I mean, he was terrible in the championship.
He's good. Yeah, I mean, if Kevin King returns to a respectable level, I think they could have one of the best secondaries in the league. I think Amos and Savage are underrated as a safety tandem. Jair's obviously, you know, one of the best corners in the league, probably top two, top three, along at least last year with Jalen Ramsey and Xavien Howard. The problem's not the secondary. It's, you know, the linebacking core, which has, you know, been underwhelming for way longer than I've been covering this team, longer than you've been covering this team.
That's a fact.
And the defensive line, because outside Kenny Clark, yeah, they have some decent run stoppers, but you got to get pressure on the quarterback from your defensive line too. And, you know, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary can do that. You got to get some interior pressure too, or else you can just throw all the double teams on the edge guys who are the only ones to cause problems. And obviously they need more help than just Kenny Clark in that area. So I agree. I think if people are saying, oh, this is not good for a secondary is not what you should be worried about. You should be worried about the defensive line, not really having done anything to improve over the past couple of years. They could obviously go there with a guy like Iowa's Davion Nixon in the first round. And your tandem of inside linebackers are two 22-year-olds who are injury prone. So maybe I saw, you know, KJ Wright has been thrown around as a name they could still sign. I wouldn't expect them to go inside linebacker in the draft, because why bring in another young guy? I would expect it to come via free agency if they do address the position. But yeah, I think they're set at cornerback. And like you said, you know, they have to guard against the possibility that King does get hurt again, or he doesn't play well, and draft a guy early on. So, you know, if I had, let me ask you this. If you had to pick a position that the Packers will draft, but the Packers should draft, with their first and second round picks in that order, what would you say?
In a perfect world, I'd go D-line and corner. Sorry, Aaron Rodgers. There goes your weapons again. But, man, they have poured so many resources into the defense, and it's still just blah. It's amazing how, you know, Josh Jackson was a second-round pick a couple years ago. I mean, the guy was inactive for the playoffs. And, you know, maybe Joe Barry's defense is just what Jackson needs, and you'll get back to what people thought maybe he could be. But yeah, you got to get a D lineman here. And Dean Lowry, for his $4.1 million base salary, not good enough. Kingsley Kiki was some flashes here and some flashes there. Montrevious Adams stunk, but I mean, and he's gone. So you're already down a guy. You know, who knows about Damon Harrison if he's coming back? They need bodies and someone who can make an impact. Because it's Kenny Clark against the world inside.
Yeah. Exactly. The other one that was reported to have happened yesterday, we obviously don't know if any of these are actually going to happen, because they're not official yet. The team hasn't even announced the Aaron Jones extension. So we'll see.
That's funny, isn't it?
So the one that happened yesterday, I think this was inevitable. We all agreed that this should happen. Bring back Mercedes Lewis to 2-year deal.
I thought you were going
to
talk about the long snapper.
Oh, yeah. I woke up from my nap to a bunch of Packers tweets. I was like, oh, what happened? What happened? Oh, it's a long snapper who hasn't played in 5 years, but who knows? He probably has as good of an idea to, or good of a chance at winning that job as anyone else they could bring in with what Hunter Bradley did last season. No offense to Hunter Bradley. It's nothing personal. But Mercedes Lewis, I think we all agreed that should happen. Reported for 2 years and $8 million. It's probably not $8 million, because I doubt they would pay him $4 million a year after the deals they've gave him the last couple of years. But, you know, we know what he matters. We know how important he is, not only on the field as an occasional acrobatic pass catcher, a really sturdy run blocker, but more so than anything, a locker room presence. And yes, it's cliche, but just listen to the way Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Robert Tonyan and Justin Outen and Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett talk about this guy, and it's a no-brainer to bring him back. He's a really important part to this team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have anybody, never mind the intangible stuff, but who's going to do the dirty work at tight end? I mean, they don't have anybody for that role. So again, if you let Lewis go, now you're forced to go draft a tight end, right? Who can block? So illogical decision. One of Gutekunst's all-time best moves is one of those understated ones where after 2018, his first year here, Lewis's first year, where he didn't play under Mike McCarthy, here he is contemplating retirement and getting the hell out of here, and Gutekunst talks him back. One of the really good understated moves by the GM there.
Yeah, I think that's the best part about, this Lewis story. He was so disappointed with his role in 2018, and I'm sure a lot of people were on that team with how poorly they did at 6-9-1. But Mercedes Lewis, just the year prior, had a fairly good year for the Jaguars, caught a touchdown pass in the AFC Championship game, and then was just not used at all. And he told, I don't know if it was just Jason or a couple reporters last year early in the season, no, or 2 years ago, I should say, Gutekunst apologized to him and basically said, we promise this year will be different. And credit to Gutekunst, maybe people disagree with him drafting a QB, but that's a solid under the radar move slash, conversation he had with Mercedes Lewis to convince him to not only come back, but keep playing football. And the Packers have benefited greatly from that. And I think he's again going to have an important role on this team. Just one question I had for you, Bill, regarding the tight end room. They're probably going to go with four, since that's what they've done the past couple of years. Is it Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, Josiah DeGuara, and Dominique Daphne? Does Jace Sternberger miss out on the team this year?
That's a great question. I was thinking about that yesterday. It's funny you mentioned that. I mean, clearly, the guy's got no trade value at all. But
none.
Daphne made a couple plays, but just listening to people talk about him after he made those plays, you kind of got the feeling it wasn't some flash in the pan, look, some guy caught a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers kind of thing. You kind of got the feeling that there's some real talent there. That he's not just some great story of a guy who was a bouncer at some bar in Iowa, but there's an actual player there. So yeah, I could see. God, funny as it is to say, you've got a bouncer against a third round draft pick. Maybe for that last tight end spot. That is amazing, but I do see it happening.
One last thing I wanted to bring up on that front was, not only did he catch that touchdown pass, but on the next play, he laid out one of the best return men of this generation on the ensuing return in Cordarrelle Patterson. And I think back to just regarding the tight end room, Davante Adams isn't going to shower people unnecessarily with praise. And I remember earlier in the season, I asked Davante about Jair Alexander. He was saying how when Jair was a rookie in 2018, he knew Jair was going to be good because he was well beyond his years in terms of how he carried himself, how he studied, and how he played. And then Davante finished his answer by saying, and a guy this year that reminds me of kind of the same type of guy as Josiah DeGuara. And then I remember Davante Adams, after the Week 17 Bears game, talking about Dominique Daphne, saying, I might be wrong here, but I think he said, I haven't seen a guy as versatile as Dom in a while here. So I'm not saying Davante doesn't think highly of Jace Sternberger, but when the best wide receiver in the NFL and one of the team's leaders and a guy whose voice carries weight in that locker room speaks so highly of the two tight ends who are up for those final two spots with Jace Sternberger, I think that gives you a good idea of where the pulse of the team is at in regards to the bottom of that tight end room.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're the number four tight end, what is your number one job? I mean, it's got to be special teams, right? You've got to make an impact on special teams, and look at the inactives list for the playoffs.
Sternberger couldn't even get above that.
Dominique Daphne, it was Jace Sternberger. Yep. So for a team whose special teams are a train wreck, you figure they've got to kind of have a renewed emphasis, but that would mean that you're actually renewing an emphasis. A much higher emphasis on that side of the ball or that phase of the game. I would think Daphne's definitely got a leg up there. So I would think, yeah, Sternberg's not. What do we know about Jace really? I mean, he's been hurt for his two training camps. So I frankly don't know if the guy's good or bad. It's been an uphill battle for sure, though.
And
for him.
Just quickly before we head out of here, what do you want to see? And I say want to, not because we're fans, but what do you want to see the Packers do for the remainder of free agency if you were someone invested in the team, say like an owner who publicly owns a sports franchise? What would you want the Packers to do for the rest of free agency? What do you think makes sense for them to do?
Yeah, D-line's pretty solid yet. I update my list every day or so, and it's a pretty decent group there, and you could probably get a guy who's going to cost you maybe even less than Lowry cap-wise. So I think there's a real opportunity there to upgrade, but man, oh man, they are in such trouble cap-wise for next year. So, I mean, if you're out there thinking that there's a big move to be made, I have no idea how they're going to make it. When I looked, and this is before these latest moves, they're over next year's projected cap with like 28 guys under contract. That is a serious, serious problem. So maybe Aaron Rodgers' contract takes care of that if that's actually going to happen, or maybe Devontae Adams gets an extension and that frees up some cap space.
Smith, too, could happen.
There's a world of trouble there.
Here's the thing. I would add an inside linebacker. If I'm to make one more move, I would add a veteran inside linebacker like a KJ Wright. There's probably not many worth bringing in at that level besides him. But they could extend Zadarius. I'm just thinking off of what you said, what they can do to clear up some of that cap space. They could extend Zadarius Smith because at that time he'll have one more year on his deal. Extend Devontae Adams. Extend Jair Alexander because he'll be playing. This will be his fourth year, so he'll be playing on that fifth year option in 2022, which will cost, I believe, around $13 million. And if they want to lessen that cap hit, they could extend him before the 2022 season, which I fully expect them to do. Correct? Am I on the right path with that? Yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
Who knows? Maybe they extend Elton Jenkins. Well, they would extend Elton Jenkins because he doesn't have the fifth year option. So he would have 1 year left on his deal. So it might be extension city next offseason for the Packers.
Yep. Extend it and then, or shove as much money into the 2023 cap where all that TV money is supposed to kick in. That's
right.
Obviously, look, they know what they're doing. I assume. So I would think that's probably the plan, but they've got some troubles there. You mentioned KJ Wright. The other day I wrote something about him. His last 2 years combined, he's got 21 passes defensed.
Sounds like
that's a hell of a lot of pass breakups. And what does that linebacker group need? They need a guy who can play some pass defense.
Who's the last Packers linebacker who could defend against the pass that well?
The
KJ Wright practice field.
Seriously, they've been so bad at linebacker for so long.
KJ Wright field next fall. Jesus, man, this team needs an inside linebacker more than people need air to breathe, don't they?
It's such a copycat league, too. And you look at what Tampa did, and it wasn't just Devin White, Levante David, but you look what Tampa did with those two guys. Does Green Bay even have one good guy? I mean, maybe they do with those rookies, but man, the jury's out.
So that's all we've got for you guys today. A nice quick episode talking Kevin King, Mercedes Lewis, couple future points for free agency, what we think the team should do, which is probably not what they will do, but we'll come to you guys in another 2 weeks talking everything about the draft after we really dive into all this pro day stuff, what the Packers probably should do in the draft, and who knows, maybe we'll even name 29 players they could take at number 29 before they don't take any of them, because we really don't know anything about the Packers like we think we do. And that's what they've proved the last 2 years. No, I'm just kidding. But, just before we get out of here, a quick reminder, even as football slows down this weekend, March Madness is still going strong. It's here. It's going to the Sweet 16. The Athletics College Basketball Group brings you the Ding U, presented by BetMGM. We'll cover all of the action, both on the court and at the sportsbook, grabbing insight from the Athletics' great college basketball writers and picking the brain of BetMGM's top bookmakers. Join us for our next show discussing Sweet 16, Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Daily Ding feed and streaming on the Athletics YouTube channel.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.